Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another special edition of the 14th Fire American Soccer Show as we talk about the 2014 Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup quarterfinal review show, as we talk about the games that happened last Tuesday, Wednesday. Obviously, normally these shows would be on a Friday. Something came up that I had to move the show for today, Monday, to talk about the Open Cup, and glad to have you on board here. And before we discuss the Open Cup, as everyone knows, yesterday the World Cup officially ended. We saw Argentina losing to Germany by a final of a goal to nil in extra time. The goal was scored in second half extra time by Mario Götze. This is what we're talking about when you are watching a tournament for the national teams and how exciting it can be when you're in a knockout round type of tournament like the U.S. Open Cup. If we watch what happened during this World Cup, and obviously it's a different situation. It's obviously a different situation because this is the national teams going at it, not a club team. But once again, if we are going to show everyone at U.S. Soccer, MLS, the NASL, and USL Pro leagues that the Open Cup matters, we have to treat it just like it's kind of like a World Cup, because this is a single elimination tournament. And while many people are saying that we should compare this tournament to the Final Four NCAA knockout tournament for college basketball, I think it gets lost in the shuffle. I truly believe that gets lost in the shuffle, because when you talk about the World Cup, or even if you talk about the FA Cup, which of course gets lost in the shuffle as well, because the Open Cup and the FA Cup are the same thing, except that FA Cup has more history, some would say, than the Open Cup, which is true, and in certain ways not true, because the Open Cup has its own special type of history as well. There has to be better education about the Open Cup. There has to be a better education for those people who are starting to become soccer fans to learn that we have this type of tournament as well, and it needs to have the same amount of dedication all the way around. The diehards, the ones that know it all, we know just as well that the Open Cup is a very special tournament because it does get you into the CONCACAF Champions League. And we have to keep on educating new fans or fans that are into other types of soccer leagues, but they think they know more because if it's not European, then it's not worth their time. And the U.S. Open Cup is just like any other league in Europe, South America, Mexico, anywhere else. This is important. This is a very important tournament. And as we saw, or if we saw at least three out of the four, because apparently one of the matches was not streamed. Of course, we're talking about Philadelphia, New England. But still, the point that needs to be expressed is that these games matter. Single elimination, knocking out one side so that the other can advance. And from four games, we get down to two in the semifinals. Very interesting semifinals. First things first, I want to congratulate both the Carolina Railhawks and the Atlanta Silverbacks for performing fantastically, getting as far as they did, getting into this stage of the U.S. Open Cup, and now we have an all MLS semifinal games. Carolina Railhawks, unfortunately, breaking a 23-game home winning record, or an unbeaten record at home, by FC Dallas. And, of course, the Atlanta Silverbacks just not able to hold on long enough to force extra time. These are the teams that are going to start their, or they've already started, of course, their fall season. But Carolina and Atlanta, they did very well. Congratulations to them. Congratulations to both teams. They have done a wonderful job. And, of course, good luck to them for next year's Open Cup tournament in 2015. Philadelphia is in a place they haven't been since 2 years ago. Chicago is in a place where they haven't been in a while. FC Dallas is in a place they haven't been in a while. And Seattle is back to where they belong when you talk to those fans over there in the Pacific Northwest. But one thing is for sure is that Open Cup games are never dull. Open Cup games are exciting to watch, and Open Cup games really mean something when teams are really going at it with each other. No matter what level what league and what level they are in the World Cup, or shall I say in the U.S. Open Cup. It doesn't matter. It really, really doesn't matter where you are. Because these are the type of games that you talk about all the time. These are the types of games you talk about all the time. When you need to talk about a great tournament like this. You know, when you listen to what I was saying about during fourth round of the U.S. Open Cup, talking about basically how much of a problem having an Open Cup match during the World Cup games, where, you know, many things were promised and then they didn't deliver. Because why? Because all of a sudden, oh yeah, we forgot, we got to put these games in. And unfortunately, U.S. Soccer was put in a position where MLS failed them. And when you watch these games, and these games after the World Cup games are finished, then you can go ahead to your Open Cup games, and then you can see how wonderful it is. And that's why I always support this tournament. The U.S. Open Cup is one of the best tournaments in U.S. soccer. Because of its beauty, because of the hard-nosed fighting that goes out on the field. Everything is for grabs, last-ditch efforts. I'm telling you right now, these are the types of games that I love to discuss. These are the types of tournaments that I love to, you know, discuss with fellow bloggers, fans, writers, newspaper people, anything and everything. Because why? Because this is the most important tournament in American soccer. Because if we don't support this, then what's going to happen is no one's going to care about it. And even though there are some that don't care about it, they keep forgetting this is right now one of the ways to qualify for the CONCACAF Champions League. DC United last year had a crap year in league play, but they concentrated on the Open Cup and they won it. And now we're seeing a team like the Sounders that have dominated the Open Cup up to a certain point. And here they go again. They're back in the semifinals after a one-year absence in the tournament because they got eliminated in the early round against the Tampa Bay Rowdies. So once again, as we are discussing everything that goes on with American soccer, it goes to show, and to be honest, we can't support a tournament like this. It just needs better knowledge and, of course, trying to have class in session to talk to anyone and everyone about why this tournament is so popular and why people love talking about the Open Cup. Once again, there has to be better knowledge from people to discuss what this tournament really means. And if we can discuss it properly and we can assess it properly, then everything will be just fine. Everything will be just fine. I have no doubt that everyone will be happy. I have no doubt that everyone will understand what's going on here. Because that's what I'm here for. I'm here to help those to learn about the game. I'm here to help those who have questions about these types of situations to come on over. I'm willing to teach everyone, whether you think you are knowledgeable but you're not sure about something, or you're a novice and you need full help, I'm here. Because we really need to have people understand why this is such a great tournament. I watch the FA Cup every single time it's on Fox Sports 1 or 2 or on the Fox Soccer Plus channel. Because people need information about why the Open Cup is just as good as the FA Cup. I watch everything, you know. I watch the early rounds, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the quarters, the semi, and the final. And hopefully one day, we'll have every single round broadcasted on television, cable television, or on radio to discuss these Open Cup games and why they should be on TV. YouTube and U.S. Soccer have done a fantastic job so far. Let's continue that fantastic job into the next phase. Ladies and gentlemen, great show for you tonight. Of course, we'll recap FC Dallas's road win against the Carolina Railhawks, the Sounders and the Timbers going at it in the Open Cup in that Cascadia matchup. That's with Dave Clark, of course. Ryan Seelock from Hot Time in Old Town will talk about Chicago Fire victory in Atlanta. But first, of course, we have some taped interviews as well. Charlie Flo from the World Sports Show could not come on with me live. He's doing a show right now. If you are listening live or if you're going to listen to this on the archive, Charlie Flo, of course, was at PPL Park as the Philadelphia Union defeats the New England Revolution by final of 2-0. Here is Charlie Flo.
Daniel Feuerstein once again here, the U.S. Open Cup quarterfinal review show, and of course down in Philadelphia joining me, my good buddy from the World Sports Show, it's Charlie Flo. Charlie, how are you and how's it going?
Good, good, good. Things are good. Things are good down in Philadelphia. We've moved on to the semifinals, so things are on the up.
And it looks like this is your second semifinal appearance, I believe. The last time you faced Sporting Kansas City in 2012, and unfortunately you get bounced by Sporting Kansas City then.
Yeah, I got bounced by Sporting Kansas City. It was a very unfortunate situation. It was the year that Novak got canned. It was third year of the Union's existence. That was back in 2012, and it was John Hackworth got inserted, and they made a heck of a run, you know, knocked off some really good teams and made a run, and I think it was a very interesting setup then in that situation because they were way out of it. That Union were so far behind in the playoff picture, this was the only thing they had to play for. It reminded me kind of similar of what we saw with D.C. United last year. That's the only thing they had to play for. And this year, you know, I've been to all three of the Open Cup games, and I think it's really weird the way it was set this year. That's going on during the World Cup. The players thought they were going to have off for the MLS break, and then U.S. Open Cup threw these games at them. So they haven't exactly looked super thrilled out there. But on the upside, I'm happy for these games because it's keeping Philly sharp and it's getting something more positive. A three-game win streak in this, you know, and they've played a lot better in MLS, you've seen. So, you know the East is wide open, so maybe it'll springboard them to get into the playoffs.
Maybe so. We'll see what happens. But isn't it kind of weird, as you've said, Peter Novak was sacked, and then you have Hackworth running the team and into a great position in the Open Cup, and now, unfortunately for Hackworth, he gets sacked, and here's Jim Curtin, the former Chicago Fire defender, of course, is now your interim head coach, and at the moment he's leading this team in an Open Cup run.
Yeah, it's interesting. You said sometimes situations like that, you know, kind of light a little fire for the players that they realize that this team means business, you know, hey, we're here, we've lost our coach, we got to play for a new coach, and gosh, maybe I'm playing for my job that maybe we won't make the playoffs, but this is a type of run we can make to, you know, salvage something out of our season, you know, get the fans involved, you know, get the front office backing us, and, you know, they don't because of the draw, lost the semifinal hosting rights, so they don't host, so they got to travel down to Dallas, but I think in these cup games, because they haven't really caught on in America, that playing on the road is not a difficult task. We saw Cosmos and Islanders both come into Philadelphia, even Revolution. Only a few thousand fans show up. So winning on the road is not difficult in these cup games.
No, it's definitely not. But definitely for the Union, they once again, you got a big-time Northeastern MLS rival in the New England Revolution. I have to say, even though the Union did win 2-0, boy, it looked like a foul fest between both sides. I mean, so many bookings. A.J. Soares, of course, finally got his second yellow, sent off on a red card as well in second-half stoppage time. And boy, oh boy, that must have been one of those stranger games in MLS you've ever seen.
Yeah, it was a very physical game. You're talking about two teams that have played each other, you know, MLS playing Open Cup for the last couple weeks, played each other twice already. They played about a week and a half ago, they played Philadelphia, traveled to New England, and pretty much pushed them around. And I think that's the key ingredient if teams are looking to beat New England now. We've seen New England put up some huge numbers this year, made a really good run, you know, into the season, you know, top of the table type of run. They're definitely going to be a playoff contending team. But I think Philly has shown that if you just kind of play physical with these guys and get in their head, they make some silly errors and they commit a lot of fouls. And I saw that Shannon Williams and Maurice Adu are doing a very good job at backline, getting very physical with their front four, five that are pushing up, and just frustrating them and not even allowing them quality shots on goal. So it is a recipe, I think, that, you know, since the game wasn't streamed, it might be a hard kick to get a hold of. But if you're an MLS team out there, I would be doing my darndest to get a hold of that game footage from Tuesday night, because the Union showed that this New England team can be just scrapped and shut down.
Yeah, absolutely. But let's go back with Philadelphia, of course, scoring those goals. Early goal in the 9th minute, Connor Casey put the Union ahead 1-0. And I bet it's great to see him back. I know he's been injured, and it took him a while to get back into the swing of things, but at least he got on with a goal in this game.
Yeah, it's a joke that I was joking with a couple of guys at the game about Connor Casey. He's definitely a fan favorite, but one of the guys summed him up. He's like, Casey Connor is a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And we've seen Connor Casey, when he's on his game, put up a brace like none other, like just pull it out of his mind. In some games, he just seems like very slow out there, and he's just not with it. He's kind of like a banged-up used car, I say, that, you know, sometimes, you know, he's running smooth, and sometimes he needs to be in the shop. So right now that we've got that second half of the season coming up for Philadelphia, we're just hoping, you know, that somehow the duct tape can hold together.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, Latou, who returned to Philadelphia, big-time score. He's scoring goals like there's no tomorrow, especially in the Open Cup. He gets you the 2-0 lead there in the 48th minute. And it looks like Philadelphia's in the driver's seat from that point on.
Yeah, Latou has just found his touch in the Open Cup. He's now the all-time leader in the Open Cup. I don't remember the exact number, but I know when he scored the goal, which was a very fluky goal, since it wasn't online, you guys can see it. He actually put in a free kick, and it went through the goalie's hands. Just Brad Knighton fumbled it in. But, I mean, this is a tournament he's done well and scored a couple goals a weeks ago against Cosmos. So this is a tournament that sometimes players just really come into their own in these tournaments, and they really step their game up. You know, you see some MLS teams that don't feel like they really want to be in the cup. They don't take it serious. But if you look at Latou, he's embraced this. He's owned this. He's taken Philadelphia. That we're 2 wins away from winning our first ever trophy in Philadelphia.
Yeah, definitely. You know, this has been one of the strangest. Once in a while, you'll get an Open Cup tournament that's, like, really strange. Weird things happen. You know, either there's been an illegal player coming on for either an amateur side, or how fluky the weather's been. We've had a D.C. Rochester round four game where the weather impacted it a little bit, but they were able to continue it when it ended. And then you have the Chicago fourth round Open Cup game where the rain just canceled the entire game, even though they've already played a first half. And in the Open Cup rule books, it says that if a first half is completed and if extreme weather comes in to stop the game permanently, because of that, it's already an official game. And you had in PPL Park that same type of weather that was coming up the Atlantic Ocean, of course. Torrential rain stops the game. You're leading 2-0, and I don't know if you were aware of that rule or not, Charlie, but were you wanting to maybe continue the game, or you were like, okay, we saw what happened with Chicago, let's end it right now?
Yeah, I actually knew about that rule. Talking to a union official about that when I was at the game, I one of the guys that walked by the union and curious what the league and what Cup's saying, and they really, really wanted to get the game in. They were pressuring them to get the game in. A lot of it was down to the officials. The officials had a certain time when they had to make a call. They had to determine whether we were going, if this match is fit to play or not. But this game was in the 60th minute. I was told the same thing that you just told, that it would be an official match. And, hey, with Philadelphia winning, yes, we wouldn't mind, you know, walking away with 2-0 wins. And it just didn't even look like New England even had much life to make a comeback at the time. But, I mean, it flipped the script. If it's the other way around, you know, the Philadelphia Union would be doing everything in their power to make sure the game goes through. But and even if the game was called, New England felt flat, they still had 30 minutes. It was called around the 60th minute, 61st minute when it was rain delay. 30 minutes is a long time in a football match, and like they say, 2-0 is the smallest lead, you know, in soccer, that one or two things happen, they're back in it. So I'm very happy they didn't come to that, because it would definitely be a debatable argument for Revolution that felt that they got shafted. But in all, it worked out. It was only about an hour delay, so, but yeah, the weather really can hamper these games. I mean, I guess that's what happens when you have soccer in America. We get these freaky storms. Either we get snow in the winter if we do winter ball, or you're going to get lightning storms in the summer. So I think that the league did the right thing, because, you know, some matches just physically aren't playable.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of like, I mean, I don't know if you're a baseball man or not, Charlie, but you know that if the rain starts coming down during a baseball game, and once they completed five full innings, then it's an official game. So, I mean, that's a weird rule that I never knew about, but, you know, in a certain way, I guess it's pretty good to have it, because, you know, you don't want to see a game like this, you know, get stopped during bad weather, or if they just can't seem to get past the storm, or the storm can't leave fast enough, you just can't continue it.
Yeah, I never knew about the rule until it happened. I mean, I've been involved in Rainbow Lake games before, but they were like it was a friendly PPL park, so it didn't really matter. And there was Rochester Rhinos in Philly actually had a rain delay 2 years ago, and it was a similar situation. We didn't even know about the rules, so it's one of those things where we're scrambling to find out the rule. But that's a good thing. I've never actually seen it written if it's a certain thing. I guess if it's after the half, then it's in the book. So, I mean, it makes sense. You know, you can't just totally throw it away, especially when a lot of these teams travel. You can't just suddenly resume the match later like we did in Philadelphia with the World Series back in '08 and resume a game, you know? This is, I guess,
yeah,
the implications of how massive it is. But, I mean, the rules are the rules, and it's unfortunate. But fortunately in Philly, they got the game in, and Philly walked out winners. And, you know, two more wins, and they can hoist the cup.
Yeah, definitely, and we'll see what happens then. But you have to go and travel now down to Texas, over in Frisco, outside of Dallas. You're taking on FC Dallas down there, and of course the one thing you're going to have to worry about is a decent side where they had a pretty good game against the Carolina Railhawks, and they broke their 23-game home winning streak. What does the Union need to do to upset FC Dallas and go to their first ever Open Cup final?
I think they had to come out the same intensity they did against the New England Revolution. You know, we saw that Philadelphia on July 4th went down to Dallas. They lost in a very tight match, lost 2-1, but there was a lot of bright spots after that game. It's very hard to beat a team. We've seen back-to-back type of games in similar situations. I mean, we'll have a month between the games, a month of some change, but, you know, it's a very winnable game for Philadelphia, you know, so a lot of it will depend on what kind of crowd we get in Dallas, you know. Hopefully, you know, that I want Philly to win regardless, but, you know, as a fan of soccer in America, I really am a little disappointed with, you know, the fan attendance in these games. I think it's a lot of the lack of education of even understanding these games. And I even had a Union official talking to. He had said that when the Union had played the Islanders from Harrisburg and then played New York Cosmos, somebody, one of the fans actually asked them when they called him about buying tickets, says, like, have we been relegated to the USL, we've been playing that bad? And like, no, this is the cup. And I think it's just the, you know, education. You've seen the same thing in Red Bull games. You get low attendance with Open Cup games. I think it's just the lack of understanding what this is. And to me, it's just as big as the FA Cup. It's our equivalent of the FA Cup.
Yep, absolutely. And there needs to be a lot more classes being taught. We need to bring in the people to let them know what's going on. And if they do know what's going on...
Well, if anybody leads the class, you can lead it, Dan.
Okay, fine. I'll lead the class. It's okay. I'll lead it. That's not a problem, Charlie. Listen, thanks a lot for being on the show, and I'll talk to you next time. Good luck against FC Dallas.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate your time, Daniel.
Charlie Flo from the World Sports Show talking about that Philadelphia Union victory over the New England Revolution. This will be their second time in the semifinals of the U.S. Open Cup. They were there back in 2012, losing to Sporting Kansas City in the semifinals. So let's see what the Union can do this time around. And, of course, the Union will be on the road down at FC Dallas. And speaking about FC Dallas, what a game. What a game this was between them and the Railhawks, headed down to Wake Med Soccer Park. And, wow, unbelievable. What an interesting first half this was. A five-goal festival that no one ever thought was going to happen. It all got started. Jack Schalowski in the ninth minute putting the Railhawks ahead. And probably everyone in Cary's thinking, oh, my goodness, we're going to go to the semifinals. We're going to go to the semifinals, and we're going to host the Philadelphia Union. And here comes Blas Perez in the 23rd minute and getting his second 9 minutes later, and already on two goals. Blas Perez, FC Dallas, not, you know, hasn't had a good season so far in MLS, but in the Open Cup, he's ahead. And then Enzo Martinez converts a penalty in the 37th minute to tie this whole thing up at two. And then all of a sudden, the straw that broke the camel's back, Fabian Castillo, 1 minute remaining in regulation, puts it into the back of the net in the 44th minute to make it 3-2 FC Dallas. Now, interesting stuff, as nothing happened, the Railhawks having all opportunities to level the match, and unfortunately for the Railhawks, they just could not find a way to get that tying goal, to get that third equalizer, at least to get that third equalizer of the match. The second one would have been for them. And then Mauro Diaz in the 90th minute puts it away to make it 4-2 for FC Dallas. But then Blas Perez, of course, wanting his hat trick, wanting to be ahead, made it 5-2 FC Dallas officially. Nazmi Al-Badawi, Nazimi, I don't know how you pronounce his first name. I apologize if I butchered it. Al-Badawi gets booked for the Railhawks in the 15th minute. Jacobson gets booked in the 76th minute for FC Dallas. And that would be all the cards going on in that matchup. So FC Dallas, who has not been back to the finals probably since early 2000s against New England, where they lost to the Revolution down in Frisco, as the basically FC Dallas just taking care of business. Just taking care of business. It's all right, taking care of business and working overtime. To see FC Dallas coming up big is really, really important and really fun to watch. So, yeah, just have to say that for FC Dallas, they're looking good, they're looking strong, they're looking very, very positive in their matchup against one of the two NASL sides that were involved in this. And once again, you know, the Railhawks had a great run in this Open Cup. They looked strong. They amazingly, and you have to say amazingly, defeating LA Galaxy three consecutive Open Cup tournaments in a row, and doing it not just in the main stadium, but on one of the other fields where they had to set up because of the whole fixing of the grass in the main field, in the main stadium. So that's been pretty good. That was looking okay, and then you're figuring, oh, there goes the Railhawks' chances again to the quarterfinals, and they were able to win into the quarter and advance into the quarterfinals. And once again, great run by them. Great run by the Railhawks, obviously. They showed plenty of fight that they were not going to lay down and be the end of it, because the Railhawks are proving to be one of those strong sides that do very well in the Open Cup. Great job by the Railhawks. Great job by them. There's nothing much more you can say about it, just a great job by them. And so FC Dallas and the Philadelphia Union will be in one of the two semifinals of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, and that'll be next month on the 12th and the 13th. And as we take a look quickly at the schedule for the U.S. Open Cup, Philadelphia and FC Dallas will face each other on Tuesday, August 12th, over at Toyota Stadium in Frisco, Texas. We got Toyota Field, we got Toyota Park, we got Toyota Stadium. It's just like the American Airlines Arena. It's making all the rounds for sporting buildings, sports arenas, sports stadiums all over the country. And don't forget that the final will be at the end of September, beginning of October, that it will be available on Gold TV. And if you don't have it, head on over to your pub, or your bars, your sports bar restaurants to make sure they have Gold TV to watch the final, because it'd be very interesting to see what's going to happen there. Maybe we get streamed. We don't know. But I cannot wait to see who is going to face whom in that final at the end of this Open Cup run. Should be exciting. It should be a lot of fun. I cannot wait. But just to go back to the other game real quickly with Philadelphia and New England, never seen so many red cards, or excuse me, never seen so many yellow cards in one match. Stephen McCarthy for the Revolution booked in the 16th minute. A.J. Soares gets his first booking in the 47th. Amobi Okugo in the 57th. For Philadelphia, Jose Goncalves in the 71st. Lee Wynn in the 74th, who tangled with Shannon Williams and then later on got, as the clock was ticking, 75th minute. A.J. Soares in second half stoppage time, second yellow, red card shown, and off he went. Just a lot of bookings in this quarterfinal round. I mean, we have at least 5, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13 bookings. And we have 4 sending offs. Obviously, the A.J. Soares is a double yellow, which became a red card. So if you're thinking about it, that counts, really, because that's a double card shown. Second yellow, and then the red pops out. So 4 red cards, 13 bookings. We've seen in the past, with probably last year's Open Cup or the year before, we've seen plenty of bookings, we've seen plenty of sendings off. I mean, you know, it went wild in the first 2 rounds in the U.S. Open Cup just to see everything that was going on here. And even with the sendings off later on in the later round, especially in the 5th round, seeing Atlanta getting 3 sent off, of course, against Colorado with Jaime Chavez, Cuadro Poku, and Borfor Carr. Crazy, crazy games that are happening, how all these things are just, you know, reckless challenges, dangerous challenges, you know, and almost, you know, career-threatening challenges. I mean, these are just crazy things going on in the Open Cup. I don't know why. I don't know how it's progressing like this. But all I can say is that we need to be a little bit more careful, obviously. We all know it's competition. We all know everyone's all pumped up because they want to do well for their side. They want to do well, and they want to try and advance into the next round. But hopefully we can have some form of self-policing, maybe some self-control, hopefully. But unfortunately, it's just one of those things where it's just we don't know what's going to happen. And all I can say is that it needs to be taken care of. It really, really needs to be taken care of, because we cannot have these situations get too out of control. That's the truth. We cannot have so many suspensions for next year. I mean, it's already too late anyway, because it's probably the tallies are going to be huge no matter what. I mean, we're seeing, I don't know, maybe more than 20, maybe more than 30 suspensions for the 2014 season. Because it's just crazy. It's just absolutely crazy to see all of these suspensions happening. And some of them, actually, some of these red cards have already been, you know, issued and played because, you know, some of them have already gone to effect into the next round. So all I can say is that we got ourselves a pretty good set of matches ready for you. Of course, in the semifinals, we're going to have ourselves basically an opportunity to see a revenge match in the semifinals, because one thing is for sure. We are going to see a lot of interesting things going on here. A lot of interesting things going on. And all I can say is I can't wait for the 2014 season to finish up here as we get ready for the 2015 Open Cup. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's exciting enough as it is to see these teams going at it, to see these teams fighting against each other, playing hard against each other. I cannot wait for this to happen. And you know what? I would like to see everyone that watched the World Cup this year, look, it's time to come and get ready for the Open Cup. So all I can say is this, while the level, and this is something about the Open Cup that you have to love because it's kind of like the World Cup also, but it's all single elimination and everything like that. That level of excitement, when it's a national team level, you have to separate it from a club level because you're going, if you've been watching these streams on YouTube of all these games, that's the place to be, my friends. That's the time to be at, watching the streams on YouTube when it's a live stream, to see how these teams are fighting to be called champions of American soccer, champions of American club soccer, to see that happening and then going into the CONCACAF Champions League for next year is what is on the line. A lot of fun. It's exciting. It's brilliant. I just love it. I love talking about it. I love discussing Open Cup games because it is wonderful to get this excitement out. Believe me, I'm excited. I am excited. I know what some of you are thinking, well, the Red Bulls are not in it, but that's not the point, though, because if I just do it for the Red Bulls, then I wouldn't be doing any more shows. I would be like, that's it. I'm calling it quits. It's over. No. Nope, I don't do that. I don't do that at all. This is why I love this tournament. Even though my club is not in it anymore, they were eliminated. But the truth is that this type of situation needs to continue on. And that's why I like to do these shows. That's why I'm happy. That's why I'm excited. That's why I can't wait to talk more Open Cup as these games continue on. And now we have the semifinals coming up in August on the 12th and the 13th. And that's why I enjoy talking about this. And that's why I love it. If you love the Open Cup as much as I love the Open Cup, then go ahead, watch these games. It's worth the time. It will be done right. And so far, in my opinion, it has been done right. We're going to see more games as the years continue on. We're going to see more games coming in every single tournament. We got two more MLS teams coming in. We got more NASL teams coming in. We have tons of USL Pro League teams coming up and some teams in the PDL promoting themselves to that next level. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be exciting. I cannot wait. We're going to have some fun. Now, here's what's going to happen. We're going to play my recording of an interview with Dave Clark from Sound at Heart, and then we're going to preview both semifinal games. And then Ryan Seelock from Hot Time in Old Town will finish up the show with me because apparently he can't get out of an issue, but he's able to come on in the final segment of the show. So that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to have set up. And now, as I've said already, Mr. Dave Clark from Sound at Heart, who was not originally scheduled to be on, he had to get pulled away from something. He was able to get time with me before he was able to take care of what he needed to take care of. And here he is right now from Sound at Heart and SB Blog Nation, SB Nation sports site, Sound at Heart, Dave Clark on the Seattle Sounders, winning in extra time against their Cascadia rivals in the Portland Timbers.
And this is the U.S. Open Cup quarterfinals review show. Daniel Feuerstein along with Dave Clark from Sounder at Heart. And Dave, a great 2 days for the Sounders beating on the Timbers. But, of course, that big quarterfinal victory over at Starfire Sports Complex, that must have been a hell of a match. Once again, Portland and Seattle never disappoints.
No, it's a great facility for it, too. And I know there's some people that hate the idea of going to the smaller facility for this tournament, but one of the things that it does is it connects Sounders fans with their past back in the USL era, and it's just got this vibrant atmosphere. It's a wonderful place to face somebody like Portland. It gets some of that kind of classic Indiana high school basketball or Texas football vibe going on there, so it was a wonderful, wonderful game to watch.
Oh, absolutely. Just a wonderful game to watch. Nothing at all in the first half, but plenty of solid passing, solid tactical soccer being done out there. But, of course, it's Ozzy Alonso that gets Seattle the early lead, and it looked like that possibly that could have been over and done with.
Yeah, it was interesting listening to him afterwards. He was asked to describe his goal, and he gave Nagel credit for the service, but he said, all I knew I had to do is I had to hit it with something in some part of my body. So that's why he had that kind of contorted karate kick attempt to finish. You know, it took a weird angle and a weird rebound, but it went in. It was and it wasn't the most beautiful shot. It was pretty darn amazing. It did set things up, so it looked like Seattle would go through in regular time. Unfortunately, that was not the case.
No, it wasn't. Darlington Nagbe in the third minute of stoppage time in the second half pulls out a crazy one, and we go into extra time. And before we even get to the goals, just don't understand why the Portland coaching staff was arguing about that straight red on Diego Chara, because I've seen that replay during the match, and there's nothing to defend. That was a straight red. That was a terrible, terrible scissors challenge on Chara that ejected him from the game.
Yeah, there are a lot of reasons why it deserved to be a straight red. And I don't know. Pensa didn't have a great game. His calls were inconsistent. You know, Marco Papa maybe fouled Diego Chara in the lead-up. But retaliation doesn't justify violence. I think you get what I'm saying. You know, just because Papa did something bad doesn't mean to try to end his soccer career. And diving in from behind with both legs out, scissoring and twisting while going down, that's what ends soccer players' careers. It's a frightening similar thing to what happened to Zach Wanney. It was harsh. It was brutal. So, and it happened right in front of his own bench. So that Caleb decided that was a game-changing moment. He's right about that. But it's unfair. He's quite wrong about it. And it's notable, at least one of their assistant coaches was ejected from the game as well.
Yeah, absolutely. But, boy, you know, Kenny Cooper's been unbelievable in the Open Cup. He scores his fourth goal of this 2014 edition to give Seattle the 2-1 lead in the second half of extra time. You know, I've seen Kenny Cooper when he had his 1 year, the Red Bulls, scored a great goal against the Charleston Battery back in 2011. Oh my goodness. It's always a great pleasure to have a guy, not just he's on your side, but he takes the Open Cup seriously as well.
Yeah, Kenny's had an interesting year. You know, he's previously, in his last several stints in MLS, he's carried his luggage all over the place lately. He has been the type of person who He's been the type of person who's been a clear starter. And now in Seattle, he's not a clear starter. He's a bench player. He's a rotational guy. He starts sometimes up on the wing, and then, you know, sometimes up top. And what he did what he's done with Jokic up is kind of treat that as his little season. And he's putting up goals, he's getting assists, and he's not a franchise or a team now. But really enabled to go to the final to win the cup, and he might just be the man that powers Seattle to that.
Absolutely, and of course it's been at least 2 years since Seattle's been in the final. Of course, we know what happened over at Sporting Park in Kansas City. Marco Papa gets the insurance goal to make it 3-1, Seattle the winner. And you're back to basically where Seattle belongs right now. You're in the semifinals.
Yes, it's 7 of the last 8 years now in the semifinals. Some people may not want to attach that to USL, but Peter Ano is the GM on those two teams. He's the owner then as well. Brian Schmutzer is the coach. He was the head coach then. He's the top assistant now. Dax Scott is still on the team. You know, there's still plenty of connections to that USL era. And seven of the last eight U.S. Open Cup semifinals have included the Seattle Sounders in one version or another. That's downright impressive. That's one of those things that helps create a history and a connection to the team and to this tournament.
Absolutely. Now you're going to face a team that the Sounders have faced in the, I believe it was in the 2012 final. You defeated the Chicago Fire back over at CenturyLink Field for that third in a row Open Cup championship. Obviously, they're not doing well in MLS play, but Frank Yalp has them going very strong in the Open Cup. Harrison Shipp is on this team. What do the Sounders need to do to make sure that Chicago does not look for revenge and gets back into the final?
Well, one of the easier things is going to be that Mike McKee's out. He got a red card in their round in that win that they just had. So that really limits their offense. That makes their most important person by far, Harrison Shipp, out of the midfield. And if Seattle is capable of shutting down a midfielder, they've got the man built for it now, Osvaldo Alonso. So there's going to be a little bit of Shipp versus Alonso, which will be great. Shipp's a quality young American player, possibly a rookie of the year candidate. But shutting down him prevents service, and that's going to be key because Chicago's going to have a lot of backup forwards and starting roles for that game. They won't really have a choice, and the thing is, with when a team faces the Sounders these days, they know they have to score goals because people are not shutting out the Sounders. It's been rare. And can a Chicago Fire team without Mike McKee, even though he's not as good this year as last year, can they really keep up in a goal-scoring race with Seattle? Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. But still, though, it looks like the Sounders are looking pretty strong in MLS play. Not just a big Open Cup victory in the quarterfinals against Portland, but you also had a 2-0 victory last night. Once again, Clint Dempsey back to how he's been scoring for Seattle with his World Cup moments. But still, though, it's great to see Clint back in MLS and great to see him continuing to put the ball in the back of the net for the Sounders.
Yeah, he had a quality game. He was okay when he was out there with himself and Chad Barrett, but when you pair him up top with those other world-class soccer players like Obafemi Martin, the types of things that Clint Dempsey can do, and the reason why you enjoy watching him play, even if you aren't a Sounders fan, he was doing them. The intricate ball work that he's capable of is incredible. The way that he focuses the energy from the crowd at large is impressive, and he put on a hell of a show. It's not really a surprise that he scored against Portland. Through all these years, he's now scored 4 goals against Portland, and he hasn't even been here this year yet. To put that kind of in perspective, no other player in the MLS era has scored 4 or more goals against Portland. So that includes Freddie Montero, who left as the King of Cascadia, Teddy Johnson when he was here with McCain and Cascadia, but both of them racked up those goals against against Vancouver as well. So, now it's Flint's turn to take over that title and hopefully bring back the Cascadia Cup to Seattle's hands and put the Sounders in a position where they can get a major trophy as well.
Absolutely. Dave, thank you for the time. I appreciate it, and I will talk to you soon, my friend. Take care.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Once again, it's Dave Clark from Sounder at Heart talking about the Seattle Sounders advancing into the semifinals of this 2014 U.S. Open Cup season. And once again, facing their rivals in the Pacific Northwest, of course, that trifecta of Vancouver Whitecaps, Portland Timbers, and the Seattle Sounders. Kenny Cooper right now. Kenny Cooper has been an unbelievable player when it comes to the U.S. Open Cup. Scored a sweet goal when he was playing for the Red Bulls. And all I can say is that he's been absolutely fantastic. Just absolutely fantastic. So, great thing to see him continue on. And all I can say is that we're going to have ourselves once again, it's going to be interesting to see how these semifinals are going to be and how everything will be playing out for that final. Of course, once again, you have one semifinal where you have a team like FC Dallas. Of course, when they used to be called the Dallas Burn back in 97, winning the U.S. Open Cup Championship for the first time. And they were basically so all I can say is that it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen here in these semifinal games. So let's talk about those semifinal games once again. As the Sounders defeat the Timbers to advance into the semifinals, final of 3-1. It was Oswaldo Alonso in the 69th minute that made it 1-0 for Seattle. Looks like it was going to end it until Darlington Nagbe pulled off a big equalizer inside second half stoppage time in regulation in the 93rd minute, of course, the third minute of added time. And then Diego Chara does something he shouldn't have done, and that's a dangerous tackle to take to basically cut down Marco Papa, and he's sent off in the 99th minute. And then here comes Kenny Cooper to start the second half with extra time, making it 2-1 Seattle. Marco Papa adding that third to make it 3-1 Seattle, and that would be the end of it. And for Chara, he'll serve his suspension next year for just an absolutely terrible tackle that should never have happened at all. Never, never, ever should have happened at all. But now, once again, ladies and gentlemen, the semifinals on Tuesday, August the 12th, the Philadelphia Union will travel to Texas over at Frisco to take on FC Dallas at Toyota Stadium. And then on Wednesday, August 13th at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 7:30 p.m. Pacific, back at Starfire Sports Complex, the Chicago Fire will travel to the Pacific Northwest to take on the Seattle Sounders as they'll host the match, the Sounders. You know, this is a situation where you don't know what's going to happen between Philadelphia and FC Dallas. because obviously Philadelphia is not having a good league season. And I have a funny feeling that Dallas will win this matchup against the Philadelphia Union because I think they have a bit of a better roster right now than Philadelphia, even though Philadelphia's had some pretty good moments. Jim Curtin, of course, is the acting coach right now for Philadelphia, so we'll see what happens then. And you know what else? I just feel like Philadelphia will be a little bit less of a challenge going up against FC Dallas. I think FC Dallas is looking to get back into the Open Cup final. I really think that Blas Perez is back to where he needs to be. And all I can say is that it's going to be an interesting moment to see when FC Dallas goes ahead and gets into that final. Where it will be held the final, we don't know. We'll wait for that draw to happen. But I feel like FC Dallas has a little bit more of a better roster than Philadelphia has right now. They're doing okay, but I just can't see them surviving after this. After the semifinals, I think FC Dallas will advance into the final. We're going to have ourselves a rematch of a 2011 final between the Fire and the Sounders. Of course, Chicago went into Seattle at CenturyLink Field losing in the final, as the Fire, of course, already having four Open Cup titles. But none of them have been back-to-back titles, but they're threatening to challenge the Bethlehem Steel for that fifth title, as, of course, they would be tied the Bethlehem Steel Corporation as well as SC Maccabi in Los Angeles. And for those of you who are not familiar with SC Maccabi, of course, that is a Jewish-American club that's in the Los Angeles area that have won five Open Cup titles themselves. Bit of a toss-up here because we all know how good of a coach Frank Yallop is, and maybe, just maybe, this could be for him a big opportunity to get back into the final. Just like for the Sounders, they want to get back into the final. They've basically want to get their fourth title as soon as possible. So a lot of pick'ems. Personally, I feel FC Dallas will get into the final. Chicago-Seattle is more of a pick'em. Chicago-Seattle is, I think you're going to have two sides that are, I don't know if they're evenly matched in this game, but you would think that because the way that the Fire have been playing so far in league play, which hasn't been so good, but you get into the Open Cup and you know it's one and done. They will be without Mike McGee, who was suspended for that little argument, dust-up, whatever you want to call it, between himself and Jesus Gonzalez. They were both sent off in the 31st minute because they both headbutted each other. And all you can say is that it's a situation where that's not good. That can't happen. That cannot be allowed. But all I can say is that, you know, that was a weird thing right there to see that happening. That was a weird, weird thing when you have both men. I mean, you understand it's a dust-up. You understand that they're both fighting to play hard for their sides, but still, that was crazy. That's a weird situation. I just feel like it's a strange, strange thing to see that happening. during these Open Cup games. But all I can say is that we hope to have two solid semifinal games that will be exciting to watch. That's the hope we have right now, that we will see some exciting games, fantastic games, and I know for a fact the situations that we're going to see in these Open Cup semifinals, it should be exciting to watch. Absolutely. Let me pass along some information for everyone here as we finish up this trifecta of shows. Of course, regular show tomorrow, the 46th Fire American Soccer Show. That will be at tomorrow, same time as today, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. We'll have on Alicia Rodriguez from the Goat Parade talking about this last season of the club known as Chivas USA. They'll have a new name next season as MLS purchases the club back from Jorge Vergara, who owns Guadalajara Chivas, and, of course, Deportivo Saprissa, the only clubs in Mexico and in Costa Rica where the players are only from the country. No foreigners. We'll also talk about the past World Cup that just finished. And we're going to have I open up the show, I'm going to talk about what happened in that friendly with Orlando City supporters and the Tampa Bay supporters. Of course, Iron Lion, Furman, the Ruckus that traveled to Al Lang Stadium to see Orlando City take on the Tampa Bay Rowdies. The incident with the Ralph's mob, and I'm not going to say anything about it now. I'll say something about it tomorrow. And then, of course, we'll recap the first weekend of games to restart the fall season of the NASL and the 2014 seasons. And then, of course, we'll recap the Red Bulls' 4-1 victory against the Columbus Crew. And, of course, we're going to save all that juicy stuff for tomorrow as we will still continue on here at the U.S. Open Cup. And we're going to see some fun things in this semifinal round matchup, semifinals. Very exciting to see, very exciting to watch. And but all I can say is that it's going to be a lot of fun to see what's going on with the Open Cup and everything else that's going on with it. And don't forget, of course, next month, let me just to bring this back up, CONCACAF Champions League games are going to be underway. In the beginning of August, the Red Bulls will play their first game against Club Deportivo FAS on the final week of August, and that'll be at Red Bull Arena. Television times, shall I say, the television aspect of these games will be informed, hopefully, as soon as possible, so we'll find out. But once again, let me just refresh the groups in this CONCACAF Champions League. Group 1 will have Pachuca from Mexico with Real España of Honduras and Club Deportivo Municipal from Guatemala. We'll have from the USA Sporting Kansas City, Deportivo Saprissa, Costa Rica, and Real Esteli from Nicaragua. And then Group 3, of course, is the Red Bulls group with the Montreal Impact from Canada and Club Deportivo FAS, FAS from El Salvador. Group 4 will have Taro FC from Panama, DC United from the USA, and Waterhouse FC from Jamaica. And then we have from Group 5, Club Deportivo Olimpia from Honduras, the Portland Timbers from the USA, and Alpha United FC from Guyana. And Group 6 will have Alajuelense from Costa Rica, Cruz Azul from Mexico, of course, the defending CONCACAF Champions League winners, and then, of course, Chorrillo FC from Panama. That's Group 6. CCL Group 7 is Leon from Mexico, Isidro Metapan from El Salvador, and, of course, Belmopan Bandits from Belize. Group 8 finishes up with Comunicaciones from Guatemala, Club America from Mexico, and from Puerto Rico, Bayamón FC. So there you have it, those 8 groups of 3. And, of course, the group winners will advance into the quarterfinals. Best record here and there from all groups will advance. Hopefully we can expand this tournament from 8 groups of 3 to 8 groups of 4 and make the draw a little bit bigger and a little bit better. I think it's fantastic to see this tournament improving. Hopefully we'll see what happens on the scheduling part in the knockout stages. But once again, we all are hoping to see an MLS side try to get as far as they did, like what Real Salt Lake did several years ago, unfortunately getting edged out by Monterrey. Of course, David Suazo, who has just been a fantastic player for Monterrey, finding ways to help beat them up and to put them into all these CONCACAF Champions League titles that they've had so far in the last couple of years. But once again, the Open Cup, 2 big games this coming August 12th and 13th. It should be a lot of fun. It should be exciting. I know, obviously, probably some people are saying, oh, not Seattle again. But look, you have to give them credit because they want it. They want to win the Open Cup. And all I can say is that, you know, they are the shining example, along with Sporting Kansas City. You know, they also want to go out and win this tournament because they want to get into the CONCACAF Champions League. This is, to be fair, the easiest route to get to the CONCACAF Champions League. And if it is, there you go. You get placed into Pot B, but still it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. You fight hard. And everything will be all right. So all I can say is, is this. The Open Cup, it's a great tournament to play in. We should all be hopeful that this is the team that it's going to, or these are the teams that are going to represent the Champions League and CONCACAF at a good level. At a very, very good level. And now we're just awaiting for Mr. Ryan Seelock from Hot Time in Old Town, getting ready to discuss the Chicago Fire. Of course, one of those teams that also takes the Open Cup seriously. As we get ready to talk about the Chicago Fire, once again, a 4-time Open Cup champion, as they go on out there and try their best to face, once again, a tough Seattle Sounders team that goes out there and plays a heck of a game, does well, and they're going to get themselves a really – a hard contested game a hard-fought game, for sure. There will be no doubt about that as well. It will be a hard-fought, contested game. But once again, it's a situation where you just have to hope. And you just have to hope, really, or just have to hope that the situation's, we're going to see ourselves a pretty contested, hard-fought game. That's all you can ask for. That's all you can ask for. It's one of those things, of course, that but we'll see what happens here. Just waiting for Mr. Ryan Seelock to come on and talk about the Open Cup. Chicago always taking this seriously, always taking this type of situation very, very seriously as we await Ryan Seelock to join us to talk about the Open Cup. But other than that, as we await for the phone call, and maybe we have him on the air right now, Ryan Seelock.
At the tone, please record your message. When you finish.
Thought we had him, but I guess we don't. Don't you hate it when the phone is off? Get the answering machine. Well, this is live streaming, folks. This isn't a super duper radio studio, but that's okay. As we await Ryan Seelock for coming in, and let's talk about this Open Cup season for a second here. You know, when the Open Cup committee was setting up this 2014 season, you saw more teams coming in from the USL Pro League, obviously from 6 to 8 with the NASL, of course. You don't, technically it's 10, but you don't count the two Canadian sides. You wondered how and why or who or what and how is going to get all set up. And when you don't mind round one being 8 games, but then you see round two coming in, and you just have to say to yourself that, you know what? The U.S. Open Cup committee did the right thing. I mean, you're seeing absolutely wonderful stuff. There was at least 24 games. 24 games going on in this Open Cup situation. 24 games being played in the second round. And then you move next door for 32 games and another 32 games and then the round of 16. I would not be shocked if round two or round one, if there's going to be more coming into the USL Pro League for 2015, that we might see more games being filled up in round one. That's what I believe. I believe we're going to see more games coming into round one when you have Colorado Springs and Austin Aztecs. They're going to move up to the USL Pro League for next year. There, of course, will be the New York Red Bulls. I understand their USL Pro League side, their New York Red Bulls 2 team, like LA 2 is for the Galaxy, will be coming in. And you know what? It should be interesting to see that happening because I think that's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. This tournament is going to expand. It's going to get bigger. And we'll see more spots being created for the first round 2015. Now, whether they bring back Open Cup qualifying again for the professional sides, we'll see what happens. To tell you the truth, It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be exciting. I know I cannot wait. And all I can say is, and you know what we have to do as well? More promotion, everybody. More promotion for the Open Cup in newspapers, television. And, of course, radio. We have already made it as a soccer nation. It's official. Tell you we're not that important. MLS is important. The NASL is important. The USL Pro League is important. The Open Cup is important. Everything is important. In whatever tournament the USA gets into, look what's going to happen in 2016 when CONMEBOL and CONCACAF will now host a Copa America tournament, and this is for the 100th anniversary of the South American Confederation for soccer, football, whatever have you. It goes to show you that people in the United States love the game, and at the same time, they want to come to the United States to promote their country, their confederation, and, of course, the national teams that come along with it. Well, a good one will be Chile for next year, 2015, and that will be for the Confederations Cup spot. But this is for just a regular championship, and we'll see what happens as, who knows, we'll see what the USA will do in that tournament. And we're going to try one more time to try and catch Ryan Sealock if we can, because it looks like it went to extra innings, whatever he's doing. So we'll have to wait and see what the situation will be. Hopefully we can get him on here. I want to get him on because obviously he follows the Fire religiously. Let's see if we have him now.
Hey.
And maybe we have Ryan on the line. Ryan, how are you?
Yes, good. Sorry I'm late.
Extra innings?
Yes, actually it was. So
oh, no.
I was just getting ready to call. So.
All right. Well, I got you. Not much time here, but let me say this. How weird is it to see a guy from Chicago and a guy on Atlanta getting sent off for the same action?
It was a little bit odd, but I figured it would be kind of a rough game, you know, playing Atlanta and Wijnaldum putting the stamp on the game. So it was kind of a little bit odd, but it was a game I was actually a little bit worried about. I just kind of maybe had a feeling that it'd be a little bit tougher, but in the end, got a couple late goals, pulled it out. So pretty happy with that.
Oh, absolutely. Ameriquois got you on the board first in the 50th minute. Deion McCauley for Atlanta equalizes 4 minutes later, and then it's just basically jousting for who's going to get the better opportunity. And Chicago does, as you get a penalty, and it's good old Jeff Lorenowitz. Good old Mr.
Yes.
Reliable that converts it for you.
Yeah, Big Red, you know, it's obviously having McGee on the team, I'd be fine with him taking penalties, even though, you know, he's kind of had a couple tough misses. But, yeah, Big Red, I mean, he's one of those guys that, yeah, of anyone on the team, if they had to take a penalty, I would put him out there. So, yeah, I figured he would convert. He did, and, you know, we're moving on.
Absolutely. Yeah, like we've already said before, those red cards were weird because Atlanta was already missing players on red cards, and now they're missing someone else for next year's tournament. But still, why at the moment do you think Frank Yallop's tactics are working in the Open Cup, and at the moment your league season's not doing so good?
We've always emphasized Open Cup. I know we've talked about it before on the show. And I just think it's a team stepping up. Maybe there's something subconsciously. I mean, we're not out of it. Having the win last week, a few nights ago, helped, I guess, Saturday now. But mm-hmm. It's still a long road to climb. We just made a signing. So hopefully that will help. And the front office says another one is on the way. But the players, I'm thinking maybe in the back of their mind, it's been a tougher year. So it's like, hey, let's go all out for the cup if nothing else. I mean, in the last few years, especially with the years that we haven't really done much in league or have been out of it, dug ourselves an early big hole, which seems to have happened in the last three or four seasons. Open Cup is one thing that we always gun for, put a top priority on, and I think Yallop has changed tactics and style, substitutions a little bit to help be successful with that. But even barring a late run, which hopefully we can make and get in the playoffs, for Chicago fans this year, I think right now it's, hey, let's do well in the Open Cup, let's try to win it all, versus, hey, we know we may not get in the playoffs or we may and have an early exit. Frank is still shaping the roster around him, finally getting all of the old, you know, cargo out from Klopas and company. So it's a bit of a rebuild, if you will. And, you know, if we can go deep in the Open Cup, I think that's about as good as we can hope for this year.
Yeah, let me give you this last one, then I'll let you go. Obviously, you're going to have a rematch with the Sounders back in, I think, 2011 in the Open Cup final. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be over at Starfire, not over at the main stadium. What do you think the Fire need to do to be, you know, you got to pay attention to that roster, because Kenny Cooper's been on fire in the Open Cup. They had a big-time victory over their rivals against Portland. What does Chicago need to do to get back into the final and try to win their fifth Open Cup title?
I think, one, be physical. Looking back to the Open Cup final a few years ago with Grazzini hurt, I mean, that was one thing that the team most years under Klopas had not been very physical. And, you know, obviously that can get you in trouble, too, card-wise and stupid decisions. But Seattle traditionally is a pretty physical team, and we just never matched up with that. So, you know, we can't get pushed around. We have to have everyone step up, obviously. You know, we need to have McGee have a big night. He's missed a couple chances here and there this season where normally he would score. So take advantage of it. Basically, we're going to play the counter, so we're going to have to make it count and get our chances that way. And the back line, too. The back line has settled down and been better, but, you know, when you get really speedy players and wingers and whatnot, they can have a little bit of an issue. So if the back line can hold tight, you know, we can play with them physically and we can spring a few good counters, that's our best chance.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for joining me. And you tell that umpire it's over in seven innings. No.
will do.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks.
No problem. It's Ryan Seelock from Hot Time in Old Town as we're done here. Join me tomorrow on the regular Four Seasons Fire American Soccer Show, and definitely talk to you guys next time, and enjoy your football. Take care, everyone. Back with more American soccer discussion here on the Four Seasons Fire American Soccer Show. Bye-bye for now.